just a memory. Hope was gone. I should have known you come along. I can't believe I ever doubted you. My old friend, the blues, nothing on the night. My name was Tam. Sleep don't take me first. You come around. I know I can always count. Friend of blues, 'cause love is leaving friends, let's land. You're the only sure thing I have found. No matter what I do, I'll never lose my old friend of blues. Let me hide. Thank you. Santa with a radio blast and a bad dog hound. There's a speed trip up in Santa, the local yoga bus shut me down. Me and my boys got the string unwound, I'm a couple thousand miles till I get to her town. $7 in a Jap guitar. What? Now smoking in a Tesla with a hand down, rocking a little combo from a guitar town. April, man, when you know I ain't my fault, I hear the steel bells from my own asphalt. They go in the middle of just I stumble in a restaurant, wonder why I don't stop. Got a key, rock and roll, I still can. Got a two-pack heaven, a motel tan. My boots hit the boys, I'm a brand new man. Back to the rising and make my stand. Yeah, pretty baby, won't you hold me tight? Good night, days when I settle down, take you back with me to a guitar town. Geography, not priorities. I go see Guy, and
because he was in town. My mom's kind of out of the country. And, you know, I'd go see my mom. Then on the way out, I would go see my mom, then go see God, and head for the airport. The last time I saw him, he was in this rehabilitation center because he'd gone through some chemo, and they were just trying to get him, you know, home, which they did a few days later. And everybody decided to be a nice thing to do to bring him some barbecue up there, and I wanted to be there for that. But I had to go to my mom's first, so I was late. And by the time I got there, the barbecue was gone. The guy was asleep. There was 14 or 15 people in his room and out in the hallway. And, you know, I just decided to say hi and bye to everybody that I felt like I needed to and head for the airport. And just as I got to the door, I guess he heard me. And he said, his eyes just popped up and he said, "Steven." Don't even fucking think about it. He's the only person to ever call me that. I said, "Hey, man, how was that barbecue?" And he closed his eyes and shook his head and said, "Pork." This is a Texan, 40-some odd years of living in Tennessee. Guy Clark never accepted pork as proper barbecue. So the last thing that my teacher said to me was, "Pork." I was totally okay with that because it was so... I play Red River Valley, sin kitchen crack, fingers to 7 years living. On the lot is every well I drill gone dry. We're friends, me and a soul man. Like desperados waiting for a train. Desperados waiting for a train. He's a drifter and a driller of all wells. An old school man of the world. Taught me how to drive his car when he's too drunk to. He wink and give me money for. Just like some old western movie. Like desperados waiting for a train. Desperados waiting for a train. From the time that I could walk, he take me with me to a bar called the Green Frog Cafe. There were old men with beer guts and dominoes. Find out their lives while they play. I'm just a kid that calls a sidekick. Not desperados waiting. Desperados waiting for a train. And one day I looked up and he's pushing 80. Brown tobacco stains all down his chin. He's one of the heroes of his country. So why is he all dressed up like them old men? Drinking beer, playing moon and fall to two. Like desperados waiting for a train. Desperados waiting for a train. Well, the day before he died, I went to see him.
kitchen, sang another verse to that old song. So come on, Jack, son of a bitch is coming.
Transcendental blue.
never planned a change. But I did on this highway, the rules are still the same. Backwards never carry you where you want them to.
This is a play with songs that'll go up at the Public Theater in the official opening date of probably the first week in March. And so I was doing so good there. It's called Cold Country, and it was written by Jessica Blank and Eric Jensen, who wrote a thing called The Exonerated several years back that was about death row exonerees. And what they do is they call documentary theater. It's based on interviews with that show was the exonerate was based on interviews with death row exonerees, is their words. And I was involved with that as an actor a couple of times and a producer. I was attached to this from the beginning, and I traveled with them to West Virginia, partially to write the songs and partially to speak hillbilly for them, because they're both one's from the Midwest, one's from New York. But they were a little intimidated by the process. We went to West Virginia to talk to folks, the survivors of an explosion that happened in a coal mine. That gentleman, Don Blankenship, that you saw that ran for the Senate in West Virginia, that couldn't string a sentence together, and his mine, and all 29 guys that were below ground that day died. And 29 guys taken $85,000 worth of coal out of the ground every day. Now that's what happened to the power of unions is machines, folks. It's just it's pretty simple. We try to make it more complicated than it is. It started happening a long time ago, but it's mechanized mining and 29 guys doing what it used to take 150 guys to do, and it would take them a lot longer. But I wrote the songs, and I'm in the show as sort of a Greek chorus with a guitar that sort of propels the thing along. And then I took those six songs I wrote and sort of extrapolated that into an 11-song album. My album will be called Ghosts of West Virginia, and that'll be out in the spring. And it's based on the idea that of trying to help us. I've written the preaching to the choir record several times, and my politics haven't changed one iota, but the truth is, I think we're in trouble. And I think part of the reason that we're in trouble is we've forgotten how to communicate with each other. And so the same powerful people that have run everything for a long time are at more of an advantage than they've ever been before. And, you know, most people think that folks in West Virginia all voted for Trump because they're all working in coal, and that's not true, because first place, 1 in 1,000 people even in a coal mining area have a job in coal, because there just aren't that many jobs to be had taking coal out of the ground. But you talk to them, and you try to talk down to them, and the only people they see that have anything are miners and people involved in mining. So we need to kind of figure out, you know, how to talk to them. I wanted to make a record that spoke to people that didn't vote the way that I did, and maybe it didn't have to be that way. Maybe it doesn't have to be that way this time, because if we don't start learning how to talk to each other, we're pretty much fucked, I think. So, this is all. So if you come to the public theater, the first thing you'll see is me walk out there with a guitar more in tune than this one is, and I'll sing this. The idea of this song is, in order to understand how it is now, West Virginia now, you have to understand how it was. My dad was a miner. My dad's dad too. Union, God, and country was all they ever knew. They worked from early morning till evening whistle blew. When you strike the mine, you walk the line, cause that's just what you do. When you're born in West Virginia, a miner through and through. Union, God, and country was all you ever knew. It was Union, God, and country, West Virginia, gold and blue. Union, God, and country was all you ever knew. Hey. Before there was a union, the company was king. You work your fingers to the bone and couldn't show a thing. Work Friday, draw your pay and then walk down to the company store and give it back again. That's why they made the union, had nothing left to lose. Union, God, and country was all they ever knew. It was Union, God, and country, West Virginia, gold and blue. Union, God, and country was all they ever knew. Pretty scorched. I figured I was a vampire for too many years to worry about. I don't think I have time to get skin cancer. She was her daddy's little darling, her mama's only child. They didn't understand at all. Took to running wild. She left town one day and never said goodbye. Left a hole in daddy's lap and a tear in mama's eye. Where'd we go wrong? Now she's gone. She met a boy up in Kentucky. Just when he thought he got lucky, she stole his watch and chain. And she always kept on moving and she never wasted time. They said she left quite a string of broken hearts behind. Woke up alone. Thank you.
forsaken by.
Every night, because I write these songs on purpose. I grew up in Texas and I didn't play football, so this was my only chance. I was that pain in the ass that tipped my guitar to every party I ever went to. And I started doing this pretty young, so I mean, I knew a lot of Bob Dylan songs and Rolling Stone songs, but the truth is that Bob Dylan and Mick Jagger scared the fuck out of 14-year-old girls, so I learned a lot of Donovan songs, man. I sort of practiced that throughout my career. I am not above using a song I wrote for one girl on another girl. It's not just sort of the key sometimes. women actually argue about which of these songs are about him. The truth is, they're all about me. Even this one. Sparkle and shine, sparkle and shine, sparkle and shine. My baby sparkle and shine, everyone knows she's fine. She blesses all that she sees and tosses her hair and a kiss in the breeze. But she don't love no one but me, I can't believe she's mine. Shimmering, she moves, sunlight all around her, even when she's blue. Silver clouds around her, my baby sparkle and shine, sparkle and shine, sparkle and shine. My baby sparkle and shine, everyone knows she's fine. Swings down the street, them big tall high heel shoes on her feet. Walks by, my heart gets a beat, and I'm stumbling like a fool. She gave me something so sweet, I can't sleep, y'all, I can't eat. Sparks fly whenever we meet, and I'm breathless cause she's so cool. She goes, I can only follow. She'd be there, I know. I'll wait tomorrow. My baby sparkle and shine, sparkle and shine, sparkle and shine. My baby sparkle and shine, everyone knows she's fine. Donovan and John Paul Jones in the same band on a 45-minute ride back from the festival site to the hotel, and I interrogated the fuck out of him. JP was on all of those records. He was, you know, Mickey Mouse like session leader. And I do stuff like that. I can't help it. I've been really lucky because of what I do. To meet most of my heroes and that were still around, and only so far only two have been assholes, which I think is pretty good. Okay, so this is just another way of arriving at exactly the same thing. Love a little head.
hill. Hey, honey, whisper in my ear. Well, close so I can hear. Hey, baby, when you call my name. Hey, baby, when you call my name. Oh, the heavens shake and the angels sing. Do what you sin, but I want you bad. You're the best lover they ever had. You're the best lover they ever had. You're the best lover they ever had.
Taught that if you were going to defend your family, you had that one weapon at hand and ready to use. in case somebody came to the door in the middle of the night. And where I live, I still have that house. It's kind of divorce proof. I think my business manager calls it the Alamo. It's kind of out in the country. And, you know, the only time the police came to my house was when they were looking for me. So it depended on them. He found the gun. I don't know how. He just looked in there looking for stuff and he found it. He hid it. I knew he had it. And he said he didn't, but I knew he was lying. I still know he's lying. And the only plan, you're not doing your best parenting at you know, 4.5, 5 months clean. So the only plan I could come up with was to make sure Justin was where the gun was not. So I called my brother. He came over and we strip searched him. And we made sure he didn't have the gun. It's a pretty big pistol. He put it in a hard eye. And we took him to, I'm not proud of this, a wilderness camp they call it that I happen to know about that was near where I lived. And wilderness camp is a place where people have lost control of their children, take them, and they pay a lot of money to, and those people in return hire them out for slave labor to the state forest department. I didn't know what else to do, so I just drove him out there and dropped him off and wrote him a check. And you know, when that was January, and so, and they're in tents out there, and so 4:30 the next morning, Justin called me and told me where the fucking gun was. I don't know what he learned from that experience, you have to ask him. This girl is best not to try to speak for him. But as for me, I haven't had a gun in my house ever since. And because it just isn't worth the risk. Now when I play this song, it's a fucking gun control song. It's my song. About the time my dad left by the big war, saw my first pistol in the general store. I was 13, thought it was the finest thing I ever had seen. I said, "Bagger, my son, and when I grew up, mama dropped the dozen and she really blew up. Really blew up, didn't understand. Mama says a pistol is the devil's right hand. Devil's right hand, devil's right hand. Mama says a pistol is the devil's right hand. Got my first pistol, it's a cap and ball coat. Shooting this fast line, which a little might slow. Little might slow, so I find out. Get you into trouble, but you can't get out. Then I went and got myself a Colt 45. Call a peacemaker, but I never knew why. Never knew why. Didn't understand. Mama says a pistol is a devil's right hand. Devil's right hand. Devil's right hand. Mama says a pistol is a devil's right hand. Devil's right hand. The devil's right hand. Mama says a pistol is a devil's right hand. Never touch a soldier, never had a chance to draw. Tired in the morning and a tub and a bit. I smiled thinking I'm guilty, I said, not guilty, I said. Got the wrong man. But the devil's right hand, devil's right hand, the devil's right hand. Mama says a pistol is the devil's right hand. Devil's right hand, the devil's right hand. Nothing touched the trigger but the devil's right hand. One of my favorite parts of the show is when I get to take this thing off my neck. These things were invented by blind street musicians in New Orleans, which makes sense because blind people don't know how stupid they look with one of these things. Let's see. Y'all need to sing better this time than you did last time. Singer, everybody will think you're Republicans. If you are Republicans, everybody knew you were here. Sean Coleman and I made this up. Trouble with the Israelites. How am I supposed to build this monument mine? I can paint the monoliths moving down. Tell Moses, tell him go. Say the children of Israel suffering. So tell Moses, tell him too. You gotta lead them with a fear on the following you. Water is wide, milk and honey on the other side. Water is wide, milk and honey on the other side. Wide milk and honey on the other side. Keep on traveling along, that's your part. Selma, Alabama, 1965. Gotta stick together if you don't stay alive. Right here, tear gas, chef on the edge. Waiting with an army over yonder across the bridge. Tell Martin, tell him go. Except it's a lot smarter, and most of it's true. And if you're very close to anybody in your time, I'm not into killing anybody else. But, these the historical pieces can come from a lot of different places. This one I stole almost intact, this story of the person speaking to you from a great novel about the Civil War called The Killer Angels by Michael Schara. And it's a novel about the Battle of Gettysburg and the personalities, mostly the officers. But one character that's not an officer that you get to know in detail is a sergeant major in the Union Army who was born in Ireland. And he, most of the characters in The Killer Angels are people that actually live, you know. Lee, Longstreet, all the people that fought there. This character is a composite character based on three people that actually lived and two of whom died fighting with the 20th Maine at the Battle of Gettysburg. Now the 20th Maine, for those of y'all that don't spend a lot of time, you know, reading everything and get your hands on about the Civil War like I did at one point in my life, that was the unit at the top of the hill on Little Round Top that day that finally expended every bit of ammunition that they had and then finally fixed bayonets and ran down the hill. And if it hadn't been for them, all you motherfuckers would talk like me. Led by a gentleman. If you ask people why they were fighting that war, it's one of the most interesting things, and that's where what the book's about more than anything else is the different reasons that people believe that they were fighting that war on both sides. Buster Kilrain in the book reckons, you know, Joshua Chamberlain, his commanding officer, who went on to be governor of Maine five times, I think, and, you know, earned the Congressional Medal of Honor for his day at Little Round Top. He was an abolitionist. He was a college professor, and he raised his unit because he really truly believed that he was fighting against slavery. Buster Kilrain came from Ireland, and he didn't see it that way. He thought what he was fighting was class warfare. Because he only had one marketable skill when he arrived. Of course, he didn't want to work for the railroad. The Fenian Rebellion was kind of petered out in the 1850s, and a lot of people that were soldiers by profession turned up on our shores. People that had learned how to kind of be killing machines, and they mostly ended up in the Union Army because they saw what was happening in the South as a feudal system, very much like what they had fought against in Ireland. And you see, you know, it's amazing the pinko shit that you could stick in on a bluegrass record if you work really hard on some. So I took my leave of there, and across the ocean in the Irie, and the vilest tub afloat, and a captain's brother is a railroad man, and he met us at the boat. So I joined up with the 20th Maine, did I tell you, friend, I'm a fighting man. Marching south in the pouring rain, we're all going down to Dixieland. Maine and a fight for Chamberlain, cause to ride with us when the Johnny's king like a banshee on the wind. When the smoke cleared out over Gettysburg, many a mother wept, many a good boy died there, sure and air smelled just like death. I am green of the 20th Maine and I march to hell and back again. Colonel Joshua Chamberlain, we're all going down to Dixieland. I am Corrine of the 20th Maine, and I damn all gentlemen whose only worth is a
his name in the sweat of the working man. We come from the farms and the city streets, 100 foreign lands. Shed our blood in the battle's heat, now we're all Americans. I am green of the 20th Maine, to the day of friend, I'm a fighting man. And I'll be back this way again, cause we're all going down to Dixieland. side. Waving off the turbulent now. I still remember that rumbling sound. Big mama crying, someone ran. Hitting at my nuts with the wheat to look. Spend my whiskey burning on coppery roof. Oh. First round here in the way. Got my two-tool duty in Vietnam. I come home with a brand new plan. I take seed from Colombia, Mexico. I plant her up a holler down Calvary Road. Got a job already. We're all screaming like back over there. Mama, thank you, team. We're trying to do it. Better stay away from Calvary Road.
I know, I didn't get it at first. I was zoning out. I didn't get it.
I figured you would figure it out.
I figured it out.
I'm feeling sorry for myself because I was going to be here on a Monday and this one and take John Henry's phone and prom bus. We look forward to it. It never worked out before. Mondays was when he went swimming, so. But harder to take has been, we lost Kelly Liddy, who was the bass player in our band for 31 years. His first record with us was indeed Copperhead Road. And it was one of those things that was sort of hard to explain. He had been, you know, the healthiest person in the world and the way that he did everything, but he was, you know, he had had a stroke several years ago and he had survived that and was recovering from it, and it was just a weird reaction to a medication that he was taking. It's a rare thing that happens, but they doubled his dose of statins because his cholesterol just wasn't coming down the way they thought it should, and he had this reaction. It's really rare, but it caused his lungs to just basically destroy themselves in a matter of a few months, and it was pretty shocking to all of us. And now all of us on our bus, we go back out on the road. We have a great bass player that took his place, and we just made a record without him for the first time. And Jeff Hill's a new bass player in the band. He's a great musician. That part of it will be fine. But the rest of us are going to have to go out of our way just to, you know, smile more and laugh more, because that's what Kelly did. He was the court jester on our bus. So the rest of us are going to have to not take ourselves so seriously, or it's going to be a bummer this summer when we go back out there. He was the only person in the band that I could get to talking to go sitting through two Shakespeare plays and stalk Mark Rylance the way that I did for over a period of years. He met me in London once and one time in New York City, and we sat through both Twelfth Night and Richard in the same day. It was, and I went out and ate in between them, and his, you know, his understanding of Shakespeare led him to turn me on to something that I've never thought of before, and I recommend it to everybody. I learned this from Kelly Liddy. You know, Shakespeare is not language that's above us. That's not what it is. It was written for the groundlings. It was written for everyday people, and we get the idea that it's some kind of, you know, highfalutin language that we can't understand. It's just archaic language. It's just, you know, language that, words that aren't used anymore in ways that they aren't used anymore. But you can catch the wave and you can understand it, just like you can understand it. As it is English. It's not another language. But try this. There's a lot of great films of Shakespeare out there that you can watch. Watch Shakespeare on film and turn on the subtitles. Turn on the closed captions. And watch it that way. And you'll catch the wave so much faster. Kelly turned me on that. He started doing it because we were all getting pretty damn deaf at this point. But it's amazing how much difference that can make. So I learned that from Kelly Liddy, and I felt like I have to say that. This is for Kelly. See, was a friend of mine. He was a friend of mine. Every time I think about him now, just can't help but cry. 'Cause he was a friend of mine. I stole away.
big crack. Never had much of nothing, can't be satisfied. He was a friend of mine.